It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Well, the Russians are again amassing forces, this time focused in eastern Ukraine, as Western and Ukrainian officials warn a major assault on the region is imminent. Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky said his country is ready for an offensive, but he urged civilians to evacuate the region. But many people are getting trapped in areas of fighting where access to some towns is being blocked by Russian forces. 9 new evacuation corridors were agreed on Sunday, that following a deadly Russian missile attack last week that hit a train station packed with thousands of evacuees. Meanwhile, in Russia, Putin is maintaining his heavy-handed approach. He recently appointed a new general to direct the war in Ukraine after his troops failed to take the city of Kyiv. This new general is the same one who directed horrific attacks on civilians in Syria. President Zelensky continues appealing to the international community for help. UK Prime Minister Boris Johnson visited Kyiv over the weekend, appearing publicly with President Zelensky. The Ukrainian president also sat for an interview with 60 Minutes. Among other things, he explained how Putin is guilty of war crimes.
The Ukrainian security service has intercepted communications, he told us. There are Russian soldiers talking to their parents about what they stole and who they abducted. There are recordings of Russian prisoners of war who admitted to killing people. There are pilots in prison who had maps with civilian targets to bomb. There are also investigations being conducted based on the remains of the dead.
Should Vladimir Putin be prosecuted for war crimes?
Look, I think everyone who made a decision, who issued an order, who fulfilled an order, everyone who is relevant to this, I believe they are guilty.
Do you hold Putin responsible?
I do believe he's one of them.
At least 72 people now are known to have contracted COVID-19 after attending the Gridiron Dinner in Washington, D.C. last week. Among them, several cabinet members, Attorney General Merrick Garland, Commerce Secretary Gina Raimondo, and now Agriculture Secretary Tom Vilsack. Lawmakers, including Representatives Joaquin Castro, Adam Schiff, Peter DeFazio, and Angie Craig, Senators Raphael Warnock and Susan Collins, and the latest to test positive, New York City Mayor Eric Adams. And, oh yeah, a whole bunch of journalists. Also testing positive were Speaker Nancy Pelosi and Washington, D.C. Mayor Muriel Bowser, though neither of them were at that event. COVID's not over, just saying. It was another deadly weekend across the country thanks to our obsession with guns. Here's a sampling from the world's most trigger-happy country. 4 people, including 2 teenagers, were shot after a Major League Baseball game in Washington, D.C. Saturday night. 6 people were injured in Illinois in a shooting in a residential neighborhood. In Indianapolis, 6 were shot, 1 killed at a shooting at a birthday party. And 2 people were killed and another 10 hospitalized after a, quote, targeted attack at a nightclub in Cedar Rapids. President Biden is expected to announce a new firearm regulation as soon as Monday, meant to contain the use of privately made weapons known as ghost guns. They are both unregulated and untraceable. And as if that wasn't enough, from the Are You Effing Kidding Me files, on Friday, a federal jury acquitted 2 of the defendants who were accused of conspiring to kidnap Michigan Governor Gretchen Whitmer. The jury was unable to reach a verdict on the other 2 had been charged. This after 2 others who took a deal and pleaded guilty and are reportedly now kicking themselves. The case appeared to be a slam dunk, and unfortunately, that's how the prosecution treated it. The defense, meanwhile, exposed their clients as virtual idiots who couldn't have pulled off a kidnapping to save their lives and claimed it was all an FBI entrapment scheme. The jury obviously bought it. Both before and during the trial, prosecutors went to great lengths to exclude evidence and witnesses that might undermine their arguments while winning the right to bring in almost anything that was favorable to their side. Those tactics are being questioned now as part of a growing conception of government overreach that many are pointing to in this acquittal. Well, the effects of the expected reversal of the Supreme Court's landmark decision in Roe v. Wade has led many Republican states to chomp at the bit once again to outlaw women's right to choose what happens with their own bodies. Texas was the first to enact a new, seemingly unconstitutional abortion ban after just 6 weeks of pregnancy, and it had actually arrested a woman because of her, quote, self-induced abortion. Well, now the Starr County, Texas District Attorney's Office said it was dropping murder charges against 26-year-old Lizelle Herrera. They issued a statement saying that Herrera was charged for, quote, intentionally and knowingly causing the death of an individual by self-induced abortion. Activists on both sides of the debate were unsure what law Herrera was being accused of violating. Despite all that the Republicans have done to overturn Roe, the procedure is still legal. The district attorney's office said the case was, quote, not a criminal matter. For now, anyway. Twitizens, relax. Tesla CEO Elon Musk has decided not to join Twitter's board. Just a week ago, Twitter had said in a regulatory filing that Elon Musk, CEO of Tesla and SpaceX, who recently bought a 9% stake in Twitter, would join the board. Well, the company announced the reversal over the weekend, with Twitter's new CEO saying it was for the best, but he warned of distractions ahead, adding that Musk is, quote, our biggest shareholder and we will remain open to his input. Okay. And finally, the people of France went to the polls this weekend for the first part of their presidential election. Out of 12 candidates who ran, the top two, who are expected to advance to the second round, are the same two who faced off in 2017. Current President Emmanuel Macron and far-right candidate Marine Le Pen. Macron with 28.6% of the vote versus 23.6% for Le Pen. They'll face off in a runoff on April 24th. My favorite tweet this morning was from an author, a guy named Gary Stenjugart, who wrote, "Dear France, we love you. Don't F this up like we did." And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com, and please click on that donate button.